Blog Talk Radio.
As a non-commercial radio station, KENZ FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kenzfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
Our friend and colleague, Scott Hand, is experiencing a medical issue, so he will not be joining us this evening.
As you did inform me of this, well, I hope Scott recovers well from whatever it is he is going through, and we hope to hear from him either later this week on an update, or maybe even next week if he comes back on, he can tell us what happened.
And I know that, and I did send them all a link on his phone, so they are listening right now, and if his family has got his, if they're in his room, wherever they are, in the waiting room, listening to our show right now, everybody here in the great city of Fargo, North Dakota, and around the world are sending their hopes, prayers, and get well wishes for a quick recovery for our buddy, the director, Scott Hand. And I know, Matthias, you echo that as well. And we're going to have another great show tonight, as I always like to brag about and talk about. And let's go ahead and talk about who we got on tonight. Our first guest will be Rosie Ann Lauer. She is an actress, and she also does a lot of good stuff in Hollywood, so she's going to be talking to us about that. Our second guest will be Luigi Hay. He's a singer and a martial artist. Can you imagine being a musician and a martial artist at the same time? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? That's going to be a good conversation. And also we are going to have Sammy Cassell. He is an actor, and he is a horror film actor, and he also does a lot of some producing and some other stuff. So we're going to have some fun with him, and we will see what happens as the night progresses when the big swing, when he's currently on his bowling league right now, and I do believe this his team's bowling for the season is winding down because, you know, they usually don't do that stuff in the summertime. At least when I was on a bowling league, they didn't when I was doing that. So he'll be joining us more often, at least until we have Monday Night Football, which will be starting in August. And speaking of football, Matthias, did you notice that the NFL released their the football schedule?
I did hear about that. I did not dig too much into it. I've had a very, very busy past few days, past weekend, past week, so I really haven't been digging too much into anything personal, but I did hear about that. I just didn't look into it.
Well, you know, you and I are both Minnesota Viking fans, as you know. And as everybody else will know, and, you know, unfortunately, well, I don't know, I guess it was unfortunately, but, you know, Big Swing, he's a Dallas Cowboys fan,
yep.
And he's from New York, so how does that work?
I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, Saints fans that are from Minnesota, and there's a lot of people that are Bills fans all the way from Oregon, and, you know, there's just, I mean, a lot of people are fans of different teams from different states. It's just who you like and the player you like and the team they play for.
I guess I can understand that, but when you think about it, though, he's in New York. How many teams do they have?
Yeah, I know. It is insane. Like they've got plenty of teams up there in that great state, but, you know, I guess sometimes, you know, they fail you one too many times to the point where you have to go and switch teams, and, you know, you'll find your team one day or another, like my dad. He was a 49ers fan back in the 90s, and then he cheered them on consistently all the time. I was always wearing 49ers stuff when I was growing up.
Sorry.
Yeah, I had no choice. I mean, I didn't really control over what I was wearing or what I was eating or where I was going. I had no choice. But when I grew up, he actually became a Cleveland Browns fan, and I finally found my way to be a Vikings fan. And now I don't even think he has a football team, but I still cheer for the Vikings every year.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I think now we know why you became a wrestling heel, because you were forced to cheer for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I did build a lot of tension and a lot of hatred inside of me. But you know, I guess that's the one good thing is now I can embrace that hate and put it out in that wrestling ring.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got a little bit of time here. We got about 10 minutes before our first guest calls in. So let's kind of look at the schedule. There are some interesting games. Out of the chute, we start out with the New York Giants at New York. Week two, San Francisco 49ers. Week three, the Houston Texans. Week four at Green Bay. So that means when we play Green Bay in December, we won't be freezing our you-know-what's off when we play in December. Now, here's the interesting thing. Sunday, October 6th at 8:30 a.m., we play in London against Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets.
Oh, boy.
If he lasts that long.
Yeah, exactly. Think about last
year. So are they saying that Aaron Rodgers didn't have the guts to take us straight up here in the States or what?
Probably not.
And let's continue with the schedule. Week six is a bye. Week seven is the Detroit Lions. That is a Sunday afternoon. Then we have week eight, which is the Los Angeles Rams. That's 7:15. That's a Sunday night. That's Thursday night, October 24th. Then we have the Colts on Sunday afternoon, week nine. Week 10, we play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Week 11, Sunday afternoon, we play the Tennessee Titans. Week 12, we have the Chicago Bears. Week 13, Sunday afternoon, we have the Arizona Cardinals. Week 14, Sunday afternoon, the Atlanta Falcons. Week 15, Monday night, Chicago Bears. Week 16, the Seattle Seahawks. That's a Sunday afternoon game. And week 17, get this, the Green Bay Packers at home Sunday afternoon, and week 18, they have it listed to be determined for the time, date, and everything. Because, you know, towards the end of the season, you know, when games might have playoff implications, the NFL, of course, can change that whatever any way they want. But here's what doesn't make any sense to me. Week 15, Chicago. 16, Seattle. Week 17, Green Bay. Week 18, Detroit Lions. We finished the season with our division opponents again the last half of the season. Why? They did that to us last year, remember? Remember, it was Detroit, Green Bay, Detroit.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah, it's definitely odd. I don't know what goes through their minds. I wouldn't even be able to comprehend it or tell you if I could. I wouldn't know.
Well, you know, I will never understand the NFL's ruling. They do have a lot of interesting rules, and I do believe, and I'll have to check on this, and we can talk about this last week, but I do believe that they may have changed the way the kickoffs are going to go. Did you hear about that?
I did not, but I'm interested to hear what the change might be.
Well, I don't know, and I'll have to confirm this, and if any listeners... Yeah. The rumor and innuendo. If any of our fans want to call in and talk about this before our first guest, the way I understand it is they're going to do it like the XFL does, where they put the ball in the middle of the field and then the teams have to run out and get it.
That can't happen. That would be so stupid.
It would be.
Like, why? That would make absolutely no sense. Like, where is? I don't even know how the XFL works. Like, do they line up like the NFL and then they all just go after it? Because that'd be stupid. That'd be ridiculous. I wouldn't get that.
All right, here it is. It was just texted me. Here it is. Per the NFL, the new format will still see the ball kicked from the kicking team's 35-yard line, but every player on the kicking team other than the kicker themselves will now line up at least 1 foot on the return team's 40-yard line.
Opposing team's 40-yard line? So they would be, like, right next to the opposing team.
Yeah, I'll read that again. Per the NFL, the new format will still see the ball kicked from the kicking team's 35-yard line, but every player on the kicking team other than the kicker themselves will now line up at least 1 foot on the return team's 40-yard line. So it sounds like all of them are going to be lined up the same spot.
Yeah, like it's going to be the first line of defense, and then it's going to be the entire kicking team alongside the receiving team, the first layer, and then they just have the back layers to protect that shit.
Is that stupid?
That's ridiculous. Like, why? That it just completely ruins the whole point of hauling down to get the returner. Like, what? That makes absolutely no sense. Like, because then the kicker kicks it. Does the kicker charge and go for the tackle? Or, like, because, like, it's just, because all of a sudden it's going to be the first lines are just going to clash, and then the surrounding people are just going to fill in, and then that just makes no bloody sense. I don't understand it.
Well, you know, I have a feeling by reading that rule, and admitted it does not make any sense. With that rule as I read it, I'm guessing that kickoff returns will be null and void now at this point.
Yeah, well, like, okay, so if they're on the 40-yard line, they're 1 foot inside the 40-yard line, where is the receiving team going to lie? Where's their first line of defense? Are they at the 40 as well, or are they at their 35? So then they got to charge 5 yards. But then, how do they know when the kicker kicks the ball? Like, do they go on the receiving team's motion? Because if the kicker's all the way at their 35 and they're 25 yards ahead of the kicker, how are they going to know when the ball clears their head? Like, it just and they're not going to know when the kicker kicks it. And then there's going to be a lot of false starts or something. Like, it makes no sense. That why kill something that was already good? Well, don't fix it if it's not broken.
And I guess they also have a new hybrid rule that they're going to do. And this is that rule. The kicker cannot cross the 50-yard line until the ball touches the ground or a player in the landing zone or end zone. The 10 kicking team players aren't allowed to move off the 40-yard line until the ball hits the ground or the player in the landing zone or the end zone.
Okay, so basically the kicker can't pass the 50, and the people that are on the opposite side can't move until the player catches the ball.
Or it hits the ground.
Or it hits the ground. I don't understand the NFL. Like, I mean, I get it. The safety protocol, the helmets, the concussions, I understand that. You got to watch out for certain hits to the head. I get it, you know, but here's the thing. Like, in WWE, back to the Attitude Era, chair shots were legal. You took it to the head. You got a concussion. If you did, you moved on and you did what you needed to do. Then they made chair shots to the head illegal. I still take chair shots to the head every once in a while. Not often, but sometimes I do on accident or whatever. Well, now in the NFL, they're like, oh, we're going to make all these new helmets, and we're going to make all these new rules, and we're going to be really pressured on the hitting, because the whole point of the NFL was hitting each other. Like, when you step out on that field, you're in risk of injury. Every time you step out in the ring, you're at risk of injury. So now they're just trying to pad it a little bit more, which can also really affect the game, because, oh, if they hit the quarterback too hard, he falls a little hard, or, you know, it's a penalty, roughing the passer, roughing the kicker, roughing whatever. It's just, they made it such, almost like, and I'm not trying to say this to be, you know, hateful, but it's like they made it almost like a wimp sport now. It's like you can barely hit somebody without getting penalized. Now all of a sudden they're changing the rules that have been going on ever since the NFL was created. Like, oh, we're going to kick it from the 35 now, and these people can't move until the ball hits the ground. It's like, I don't understand. I just don't understand why they're trying to fix something that isn't broken. I just don't get it.
And I got this last tweet, too. Okay, so basically, what the tweet, the text says. So basically, with this, under the new rule, the kicking team's kicker will continue to kick from the 35-yard line, but rather than being flanked by his teammates, the rest of the kicking team will line up at their opponent's 40-yard line, eliminating the traditional running head start, which will eliminate tackles, injuries, and concussions.
No, that won't.
No.
That won't, because here's the thing. You're still, but the opponent, the receiver, is still going to be running head first, full speed, at these people. So either way, let's say you and I are lined up against each other.
Right.
And you're defending your kick returner. And let's say I'm on the 40 and you're on the 35, and that ball hits the ground, and that guy is having to sprint to collect the ball because he doesn't know a hit's coming. I wrap around you, and I'm going full sprint for 40 yards to the point where he doesn't see me coming, and I squash him. I hit him. And that caused a fumble, and that causes a touchdown for my team. Like, there's still risk of injury. It's never going to reduce injury. Anything can happen at any point in time. You basically have to have them wrapped up in pillows and bubble wrap and in those Zorb balls to make it injury-free. Like, there is no way a person going on the ground is not going to be 100% risk-free of injury.
Well, I'll tell you what, we will continue this. Our first guest is waiting in the wings, so we're going to take a quick little commercial break. We will be right back after these messages, so do not go away. We'll be right back with our first guest after these messages. We will see you shortly. Maybe. Nope, not that one either. Let's try this one.
As you know, 89.1 Ken's FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor Ken's FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, she is our first guest of the night. She is so beautiful and so wonderful, and she's with us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the lovely and talented. She is Rosie Azauer.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Well, Scott is not with us right now. This is the icon. You have the modern nightmare, Matthias. Unfortunately, our friend Scott is in the ER. He had a medical emergency, so he's not going to be with us tonight.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, I thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, and then we can do that intro at the end if you'd like.
Okay.
That little liner I sent you, we can do that at the end if you want.
Okay.
All right, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk to you about your exciting career, and I'll tell you what, you have a lot of stuff that I want to talk about. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll have the nightmare ask you a few, then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first, before we do that, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then we'll have some fun with the interview. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. Well, my name is Rosie Ann Lauer, and I'm a model and an actress, and I'm also a tattoo artist. So I have an interesting array of careers, and I recently relocated to Massachusetts from New Hampshire, so I'm just kind of getting settled in new surroundings, and I've been on a little bit of a hiatus while I moved and got settled, but I'm kind of getting back into things now.
So if you're a tattoo artist, do you think maybe you can tattoo a better looking face on me, you know?
That would be interesting.
Anyway, we have Rosie as our guest here, and we got a good chunk of time here, and we're going to have a lot of fun with you. And we're going to talk about some of your projects and some of the stuff you're doing now. And let's just go ahead and get into it. A couple of things that we want to talk about. A Christmas Invitation, Attack of the Corn Zombies, Amityville Turkey Day, and it looks like you have a, and of course we get all our information from imdb.com, so if this information is incorrect, let us know, but it looks like you have a couple of projects that are in pre-production and post-production. They came back from somewhere, and Broken Innocence. Are you able to talk about any of the new stuff?
To a degree, many of the things that I've worked on isn't out yet. So, you know, I'm limited on what I can say on the things that aren't out yet. You know, a few of them are out. The Christmas Invitation is out. And let's see, Amityville Turkey Day, I believe, recently came out. But there's a few others that are on their way, but they're not out yet. Skullcracker is one of them I'm really excited about. I got to play a mob boss wife in that, and that was a lot of fun. That was probably one of my most enjoyable ones that I've done so far. And that one was filmed up in Maine and probably won't be out for another year or so. And did a small thing in the Wicked Hollows, and Chapman Speaks should be coming out soon. I did Magenta, where I played an emergency room physician, and that was filmed in Connecticut. That'll be out this coming year. God, there's been a few of them. I did quite a few over the past couple of years, and I'm excited myself to have them come out because everyone's always asking me, when can I see this? And even I don't know the answer to that.
Well, you know, another project that you got coming out I'm kind of interested in about is Cheerleader Camp Elimination. Is that like a reality TV show?
No, it's a movie. It's a movie, a horror movie, and everything I do is independent movies. So that was a lot of fun as well, and I can't say too much about that because it's not out yet, but no, it's a movie, and that should be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, an IMDb listens in pre-production, so I'll tell you what, if you need an extra, like for someone that lifts up the cheerleaders above their head and stuff, I would definitely volunteer to be part of that production.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there'd be a lot of people lined up to volunteer for that position, right?
Or like the one that supervised the shower scenes. I'm definitely – I'm kidding. I definitely be into that as well. So Christmas Invitation, that came out in 2022. You played Jeanette, and that was an awesome movie. I loved that. And also Attack of the Corn Zombies, that came out in 2023, last year. And you said Amityville Turkey Day just recently came out. I'm just kind of curious because it seems like every guest that we've had on that's in the horror film genre has some kind of movie with Amityville at the beginning of it. Now, do you think that's overused, or is that just like a running joke at this point?
I think it's probably been a bit overused at this point, but, you know, hey, it sells, you know. I mean, people like it. They go to it. So, you know, I don't write the stuff. So, yeah, it is on many, many, many movies and books as well. But and I'm sure there'll still be a lot more things that'll come out with that name in it. But that's just the way it goes.
And we have Rosie as our guest here on 89.1 Kent FM. We got 22 minutes. Before we continue about more of your projects, I'm going to introduce you to my co-host. I only have one here with me because one is in a bowling championship, and the other, unfortunately, is having a medical emergency. But Nightmare, what do you got? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed NSC World Tag Team Champion, APW World Heavyweight Champion, and Rudo's Promotions All-Weight Intercontinental Champion, and honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias. Welcome onto my part of the program. My main question right now that I thought of, once I heard you are a tattoo artist,
Oh, I can't hear you. Hello?
Yeah, your mic is on.
Can you hear me?
How about now? Try it now.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you again now, yes. I didn't hear the question, though.
Okay, so the question was to you, I've seen shows about, like, tattoo artists and stuff like that and the challenges they face and, you know, some of the problems that can come along while making, like, making a tattoo. Have you ever had a canvas that has been, like, a difficult one, like, that was just, like, not agreeing with anything you wanted to do or, like, not taking any suggestions or, like, just being overall very difficult that, like, just really, really stressed you out?
Well, being a tattoo artist can get pretty stressful at times. There's a lot of pressure. You're putting something on someone that's going to be there for the rest of their life. And sometimes people don't understand how difficult that can be, and they'll want, you know, the Mona Lisa in a quarter size, and it just isn't going to work, and you have to explain to them that they need to go bigger if they want that particular piece, or that they have to simplify what they're trying to get if they want it that small. You know, so that's often a difficult situation because people tend to want things much smaller than is realistic. The hardest challenge, in my opinion, really is the body part because it's not the same tattooing every part of the body. You know, when you're working on something firm, like a thigh or an arm or a leg, you know, something like that, it's a lot easier to do than when you're working on like a stomach or a breast or a butt or something that's squishy. So squishy skin can be really difficult to work on. And, you know, especially on people who are larger, those squishy areas can be just really tough to work with.
Gotcha.
So I think that's pretty much universal in the tattoo world.
Yeah. And then have you ever had, like, someone come in that goes, hey, I want this on this part of my body or, like, you know, just, like, one of the oddest tattoos. Like, have you ever had – I got to ask, name one of the oddest tattoos you've ever – a tattoo request that you've ever gotten that you had to literally look at them and go, really? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what's going through your mind right now? Have you ever had something like that?
Oh, gosh. You know, not so much with regular tattoos, but in addition to regular tattoos, I also do medical tattooing. So a lot of people say, what's medical tattooing? So what medical tattooing is, it's not pictures. It's tattooing the body to make it look normal when something abnormal happens. So the most common one that people relate to is the 3D nipples on women that have had mastectomies.
Yep.
But that's just one example that it can be all kinds of things. And I actually did have a gentleman from New York travel all the way up to me in New Hampshire because, okay, this was a black man, but he had vitiligo, I think that's how you say it, but the only place he had it, I swear to God this is true, the only place he had it was on his penis. So he had a white penis, but the rest of him was black. This is the truth. So he traveled all the way to me, and I had to, you know, I tattooed his penis black to match his skin color. And everything went really well, and it worked, and I did a fabulous job, and he was very happy. And but I got to say that was probably the strangest request I've ever had.
Yeah, like that just sounds. I mean, that is definitely odd. Like I've never heard of something like that happening. So I mean,
yeah, you weren't expecting that one, were you?
No, I've never really heard of that ever happening. So then having that happen and then they come into you so you can tattoo it the same color as their skin. Wow, that's definitely interesting. And now I'll ask one question about your acting and stuff before Icon hops on here. So my main question to you, and I ask this quite often with guests because I always like the difference of answers that I get from people. So when you go out for like an interview, and it's like you could be sports, could be music, could be whatever. A lot of people will sit down and ask, who is one of your heroes, one of your main influences that got you into the career path that you chose? So let's say for acting, who would you say was one of your main influencers slash heroes that kind of gave you that little nudge to go into acting?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as far as actors, I'm not sure if I really have a particular one, but I love Stephen King, and I love horror, and, I love doing that type of movie, thrillers and horrors and things like that. It's probably my favorite genre. And I had a friend, actually, she was a fellow actress in Christmas Invitation, Jessie Hall. And she has been quite encouraging and supportive and all of that because Christmas Invitation was my very first movie, my transition from just modeling into acting. And so meeting her and working with her was very encouraging. And the whole crew, Gino McGahey, a wonderful director from Massachusetts, gave me that first opportunity. And the entire crew on that movie was very supportive and helpful and encouraging. And, it's one of those things, you do it once and then you get bit by that bug and it just becomes such a passion. Where the first movie, I was terrified, and then you get that bug and it's just a passion that you just want to keep going. Although, truthfully, every single time I do a movie or agree to do one, I get terrified again. And I'm like, what was I thinking? I can't do this. And then the day of it gets there and I get up and I do it. And then you get that exhilarated rush after you played your character and you pulled it off and you did it. And it's like, yes, what's the next one? And then you get the next one and you're like, what was I thinking? Why am I doing this? And the cycle just keeps going every time you do one.
Absolutely. And then I guess my last question will be, as I'm a professional wrestler, right before my music hits, right before I'm about to go out for a match, I always get that really nauseous feeling in my stomach, like my nerve, like the butterflies, the nervous feeling. When you get a role that either you've been like practicing for or you've been waiting to get, and all of a sudden you get it and you're about to go out and perform and do like a reading or be in front of the camera, do you ever get those feelings still throughout the many years of what you've been doing?
Absolutely, I do. Every single time, that's what I was saying, is I get anxious. I don't know if everyone does, but I do. I get very, very anxious, and I start pacing, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Why am I doing this? I can't pull this off. I won't remember my lines. And so, I get very nervous. I get very anxious. I pace. And then as soon as it's like, okay, roll, then I get up there and I do it. And some kind of magic happens and I pull it off, but I don't know where it comes from. So,
yeah,
you know.
I know that feeling
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And then when you're done, you look back and you're all exhilarated and you've got that rush and that excitement and you're like, where did that come from? You know,
like,
I'm just thankful that I'm able to pull it off. Exactly. You're thanking your lucky stars and very, very thankful.
Absolutely.
Rosie Ann Lauer is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. And for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday by Monday, like that, go to 89.1 Ken's FM page on Facebook, like that, do a $10 a month donation to the Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified and win a autographed picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. And I do believe, Rosie, you are sending us some, or you have sent us some?
I've already sent you some.
Right. Okay, that's right. I do have those. I just want to make sure. And we have, and like I say, we still have a good amount of time here. We've got about 11 minutes here left with you. And, you mentioned that you have some projects that you can't talk about, obviously, because they're not out yet. But let me ask you this. What is the remaining 2024 look like for you as far as projects that you have forthcoming?
Oh, goodness. Well, I also am getting into a little bit of voice acting. So I have one coming out where I do, it's a small role, but it's my first role as a voice actor, so I'm kind of excited about that. And I may have another, I've already shot my scene for Skullcracker, the movie I mentioned up in Maine, but there's possibly talk about another scene where I'll be traveling up to Maine to do another one for that. Which I kind of hope that one does have another scene, because it was a lot of fun working with those guys. Rich Scarano of Maine is the director from that, and great crew, a lot of fun. So I'm hoping, you know, that we'll add another scene to that. I also got a message just the other day. I don't really know much about it yet, but as I mentioned, I just recently moved to Massachusetts, so I'm kind of getting my bearings again here because I was in New Hampshire, so I've got to connect with different people. But I got a message just yesterday from someone about a possible small series that they're going to be making and filming only about 20 minutes from where I just moved to. So I'm going to be auditioning for that coming up soon. So that sounds really promising and exciting.
And also,
and I don't
remember
a lot of details about that.
And also remember, if they ever ask you if you know of anybody that would be a great extra that's an egomaniac, you'll make sure you pitch me.
I will.
we have Rosie as a guest here, and we got about 9 minutes left here. So one other thing that I'm kind of interesting about, and it comes out this year, or it may already be out, Chapman Speaks. It's a mockumentary. Can you tell us, what is a mockumentary?
It's a lot of pictures, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, and I'm not sure if I honestly really understand it myself, but it's a short film. It's not a full movie. It's a short film, and a lot of it is pictures of people that are put together to kind of to portray someone who maybe is in the movie has already died or something like that. So they present you in picture form. So, for example, in that movie, I play a politician that's running for president, but it's alluded to that I may no longer be alive. I don't want to say any more than that. So, my husband was actually also in that one as well, and he played the richest man in the country, and I played the politician. And so we're excited. That should be coming out very shortly, actually. So
sounds
I'm excited to see what that ends up being myself.
Sounds pretty true to life what's going on in politics right now, but that's a whole other story. But we're not going to get into politics here. But we have Rosie over here. We've got 8 minutes. I'm just kind of curious, though, about, and I don't know if you can talk about this or if you have to kind of not want to talk about it at all, but, you know, how did the strike affect you?
In a way, it kind of helped me because I'm an independent, I do indie movies, so I'm not SAG-AFTRA, so it didn't stop me from doing anything because the indie movies still continued to go. And honestly, I think they kind of picked up when the Hollywood movies were kind of, you know, were not working. The indie movies were. So there actually were more indie movie opportunities than there had been previously. So in a way, that helped the indie movies.
And with that being said, if you're an independent filmmaker or independent actress, you didn't have to worry about the strike. You could do whatever you wanted to, that just wasn't related to Hollywood per se, right?
Right.
And the way I understand it, and we don't want to go too deep in the weeds on it, but the way I understand it is the whole strike was about using AI. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah, the AI is really making things very difficult. Honestly, I really haven't even been modeling since that because of the AI stuff where everybody's just taking a regular picture and then throwing it on AI and making all of these pictures that look nothing like themselves. They're not reality, but they're everywhere now. So it's kind of like, well, why bother getting all dressed up and, you know, do every, you know, get yourself all together and spend hours getting ready for a real life photo shoot that's legit when a lot of people don't even know the difference if it's real or if it's AI when everybody's just using the AI now. So, yeah, it's a big issue. It's a big issue with movies, with, you know, with actors, with models, with anyone really in the entertainment industry.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, there is one little AI song that we're going to play at the end of the show here. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but, you know, Randy Travis, he had a stroke 4 or 5 years ago, and it left him unable to speak and unable to sing and communicate. But they were able to find a way that he could sing into a microphone, and they were able to give him his voice back, even though he had a stroke, and he has a new song out called Where That Came From. And we're going to play that later on. We'll probably close with that song tonight. But I think that's kind of cool when they use AI for that reason.
I think that's fantastic. I didn't even know anything about that. But now that's a good before it. Things like that where it helps people, I think, you know, there's a purpose for pretty much everything. It's just that a lot of things get used for the wrong purpose. So I think that that's a great reason for it. And, you know, that could be something that could probably help a lot of people.
And, you know, I'm a big Randy Travis fan. And when I first heard the song, it brought me to tears. And I was seeing in the music video, for everybody that wants to check it out, we, like I say, we'll play it at the end of the show tonight, but it's called Randy Travis, Where That Came From. And you can see him in the studio with Clay Walker, and they show how they made the video and how they kind of mixed it together so that he could have his voice back. And I thought that was just an awesome thing.
That is. That's wonderful.
And we have Rosie and Lauer as our guests here. We have a few minutes left here. But, Rosie, if our fans want to check you out and see you, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I do. My regular Facebook is just my name, Rosie Ann Lauer. I also have a Rosie Ann Lauer fan page. My Instagram is rosiea_model.actor. And that's pretty much all I use. I don't have the time to be on social networking all that much, so I just pretty much limit it to that. And if anyone is interested in getting a tattoo in Massachusetts, I am at the Green Rose in Holyoke, Massachusetts on weekends.
And I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that the icon made for you is at the front of your Facebook page.
Yes.
So did you? I just got to ask. Did you like that little card I made for you?
I do. I love it.
I just thought that it was kind of cool. You know, I kind of made it like a mirror image here, but you're looking at a photograph of yourself, kind of like a mirror image. So I just kind of wanted to put two and two together.
Yeah, that was actually at an event where my photo was displayed at a gallery. So I was actually standing next to my photo that was being displayed.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Ann, you are so wonderful and awesome, and I'm glad that you took your time out of your schedule to be with us tonight, and we would definitely love to have you back on again. So when some of the projects that you have are working on now are released, we could talk more about them.
Awesome. That sounds great. I would love to.
All right, Ann. Rosie, thank you so much for being with us. You're awesome, and you know that everybody in Attitude Era, Monday Live, Monday Land, love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Have a good night.
All right, thanks, Rosie. You as well. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was a good interview, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so we're just waiting for our next guest, Luigi Hay, and I can't wait to talk to him about being a martial artist and a musician. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like if you're a musician playing your stuff and someone heckles you and you can go out there and, you know, kind of rough them up?
Yeah, that definitely would be interesting.
So anyway, we'll just wait for him to call in, and when we do, we'll put him on. We'll take a commercial break, and we'll go from there. But let's kind of catch up here as long as we're waiting. What else has been up with you, Matthias? How have you been holding up on your wrestling career? You got a lot of stuff coming up yet?
Well, I did just recently defend successfully my World Heavyweight Championship, as predicted, against Hotshot Danny Duggan at All Out Pro Wrestling. And then while I was at All Out Pro Wrestling, I got to talking with another promoter from Northern Lights Wrestling, and they're interested in having me for their next two shows this Friday and Saturday. I believe James Ellsworth will be in correspondence with the show. It's one of his promotions will be coming down as well. So it'll be kind of a little promo combo kind of thing. And but other than that, I've got those coming up, and then I've got a little bit of a break before I hit the June date, so it'll be kind of nice to take a little break from there. But, yeah, other than that, it's just been going, training and rehabbing and then wrestling and then training, rehabbing and wrestling and just going back and forth, basically.
And how is that injury situation for you?
Well, it's the same as it's always been. Ligaments are pretty much, I believe, going to be at the strength that they can be until I go full-on knee surgery and get the ligaments retightened and stuff like that. Haven't had any issues with the multiple layers of wrapping and stuff, but now things are starting to switch around, or I'm going to start getting new gear and stuff like that for new gimmicks that I'm coming up with and new things that I'm going to be doing. So I got to come up with new gear, which means I got to find a way to mask my braces again and stuff like that, so I'm going to figure that out. But otherwise, it's going to be the same, consistently just trying to get it strong as it can be, up until the point I just say the heck with it and finally get surgery done on it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We, last week we had kind of had a snafu, if you remember. Debbie was supposed to be on with us, and unfortunately, she was Debbie Dutch was supposed to join us, but unfortunately, as things would happen, we had a little snafu with the time zone issue. And what she thought our time zone was for when she was supposed to call in compared to what it actually was an hour later, not an hour earlier.
I got it.
So what we are going to do is we are going to have a special Tuesday edition of Attitude Era Monday Live Monday next Tuesday. It won't be on this station, unfortunately, but it will be on Blog Talk Radio, and we will send everybody a link so you can all listen to the show. She's going to be on with us for a full hour. Usually we have guests on for about 30 minutes, but this will give us more free reign to talk to her. And, of course, Matthias, if you're not busy and you want to call in and you want to ask her a few questions, you're free to do that, and that would be cool.
Okay, yeah, I'll figure it out.
All right, so hopefully our next guest will be calling in shortly. If not, I guess we just have to kind of fill time while we're waiting for our third guest to show up. I mean, all guests have confirmed, and as we found tonight, you know, things do happen beyond our control, and there's nothing that we can do about that. As they say in the wrestling realm, Matthias, what do they always say at the bottom of the poster?
Card subject to change.
Exactly. Especially if your writer is Vince Russo.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'll tell you what, let's as long as we're waiting, we can talk a little wrestling. We haven't done that for a while. What have you been keeping up with the current product?
I do look into it as much as I possibly can. I'm honestly really busy just working on my stuff. I've just been really honing my craft and looking at things. Every Monday night, usually I'm watching Raw before I come here and do the show, and then Friday night, if I'm not busy getting my gear ready, putting my titles in my bags and getting everything ready, I'll watch SmackDown every once in a while, but it's very, very rare that I actually get to sit down and watch a full episode of Monday Night Raw or a full episode of Friday Night SmackDown in its entirety on the night that it's live. But a quick thing, too, before I forget, last Saturday at All Up Wrestling, I actually got to meet Hacksaw Jim Duggan and talk to him for a little bit and got to take a couple photos with him and stuff, so that was kind of cool. So, yeah, as a current product, no, but as a past product, of course, with Hacksaw, yes. But as a current product, not really as much as I should, I would say.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was actually here in Fargo. He's been here a couple times. I'll tell you what, if you want to tell us a little bit more about that, Matthias, I'm going to take this call quick, and I'll be right back to you.
Oh, well, I mean, Hacksaw was just kind of a cool guy. I went last Saturday to All Out Pro Wrestling in River Falls, Wisconsin, at the auditorium where I defended my APW World Heavyweight Championship. And basically, I went and defended against Danny Duggan, and we put Hacksaw as our special guest appearance, and he did a meet and greet and stuff like that. So, I mean, they did a bunch of meet and greet with people, and then after that, he did a little promo at the beginning of the show. But then after that, he had to get on a plane to get back to North Carolina where he lives. So, I mean, it was kind of cool getting to just chat with a WWE legend and getting to hear his talk to him a little bit. And he just wanted to come down to the locker room and talk to the boys before he went and sat down in his chair and kind of watch the show for a little bit. So, yeah, it was just kind of cool getting to hang out with him for a little bit and not really have to sit and talk. And it was just kind of cool just getting to chill with him.
Well, you know, like I mentioned, he's been here. He was here in Fargo, and he was actually here when they had wrestling at the Newman Outdoor Field.
Yes, I did hear about that. And like I said, he's one cool guy. It's very rare that I get to hang out with legends and stuff like that. If you're not working for MAW out in Minnesota, you're not really working with the bigger guys. You're not really getting to talk to a lot of bigger guys, but every opportunity that I get to, I'm willing to do it. When they run shows, I'm usually booked. So then I'm trying to get down to their shows and my shows at my convenience and stuff like that. But yeah, there's some times where I got the chance to meet like Bret Hart, the Sandman. I met Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Eric Bischoff, Eric Redbeard, Ricky Morton, his son Kerry. Like, I've gotten to meet a ton of people, and it's just an honor every time getting to meet somebody that's done it either longer than you or done it in the past before you and stuff like that.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I've had a chance to meet a few wrestlers in my day and also interview a lot of them, and everybody knows how I feel about a few of them, like one half of the Harlem Heat, and not Booker T, to narrow it down,
yep.
And also the Honky Tonk Man, but we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to take a quick little commercial break, and we will be back with our next guest, so stay with us. We will return after this message.
Ladies and gentlemen, the New Clocks are here. The New Clocks are here. Yes, for a limited time, you can get your very own 89.1 Ken's FM clock. For a $25 donation, you can get a classic analog round-faced clock with the 89.1 Ken's FM logo on the front. Just go to our website, www.kensfm.com, and under the More Merch tab, you will find the clocks along with numerous other new merch you can order. Get yours now while supplies last. We have these in limited quantity, so order now at www.kensfm.com.
All right, let's get right to this. Ready, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. He's got microphone in hand, and he's going to bring that sweet sound. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Luigi Hayes.
Hey, this is Loogie Hayes, and I'm on the radio with some people here. I love them. I have their
How
children.
Are you, man?
I'm
How's it going,
right.
man?
I've
all right. We
for
have...
the, looking for the message you wanted me to convey, and now I'm just kind of winging it.
All right, well, that's fine. We have Luigi Hayes, our guest. We got 20 minutes here with Luigi, and we might try and extend it a little bit into the third interview, but when we have to do a top of the hour starts, we'll take a little top of the hour break, and then we'll continue this. But here's what we're going to do here, Luigi. If you want to give us a little background about yourself, then I'll ask you a few questions, and we'll go to Matthias, and I'll come back and ask you the tougher questions. So go ahead, give us a little background about yourself.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Let me start off by saying it's actually pronounced with a hard G. It's Loogie, and it is pretty much what you think the reference is. I was trying to do a recording session with a friend of mine, and I was, shall I say, flamboyant, and I couldn't spit it out. And my friend just decided to nickname me Loogie, and it stuck ever since then.
So you're not friends anymore?
We are, but it's an odd kind of friendship. We just spit on each other every time we see each other.
Well, that's awesome. It's good to have those kind of friends, kind of like me and all my co-hosts here. So we're going to have a little fun here with this interview. And like I said, we got about 20 minutes. But before we do that, we need to do a little legal ID thing, and we'll be right back. All right, so stick with us, everybody. We'll be right back after this.
All right. You're listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kenzfm.com.
And we are now back. So tell us, Loogie, what kind of music do you like to play?
You know, music is... Music is as the spirit hits you, I find. The band I'm currently in is Panguitch, and we really just go by how we're feeling and try and create stuff. If I was to genre-nize it, I would say it's interactive and playful with a bit of sophistication. So we're not all love ya, baby, but... we like that mood, if we can create that mood with maybe more sophisticated lyrics. And I would say our strength is our live show. We just love to kind of be immediately interacting with an audience and to get that energy going. I don't think there's anything like it. Same time, we will record some records and put that out too.
So what would you say was your number one hit song that you wrote and recorded?
Oh, number one hit. Ah, I guess that depends on who you ask. The first song I wrote that we're actually using in our show is maybe 20 years ago. And at the time, I just wrote it on an acoustic guitar and didn't think it would ever be a full band playing it out to the masses. But I Need You is one that seems to have just a very catchy, fun vibe, and it's been called here in California, the Beverly Hills mayor listened to it and said it was the feel-good song of her campaign or that kind of thing. But we, you know, music is like it's like life, because there's so many flavors and emotions that come with life. One minute you're writing a funny song, and then the next minute you're you know, pouring your heart out into a ballad. And we like to just keep our options open to all of that, because the human being will express itself.
So if the mayor really liked the song, so was there like a local Loogie heyday that they made in your hometown?
Well, I like the way you think. I will say not yet, but if you want to use your radio weight and contact, well, actually, I don't think she's the mayor anymore. I think she just stepped out. But no, we didn't do anything that grand. It just became it's like one of the favorites of the band, and we play it as our last song in our shows, and it really kind of leaves the audience with a good taste in their mouth. But if I may go way, way back, and I don't know what the demographic of your listening audience is. In, the movie Snakes on a Plane came out many, many years ago, and I wrote a parody song, which was a U2 parody song that included Samuel L. Jackson, who was in the movie, and New Line Cinema contacted me and said, "Hey, thank you for inadvertently marketing our movie. We'd like to fly you out
and fly you to the premiere of Snakes on a Plane. So I don't know, maybe that was a bigger hit song.
So did you get to hang out with Mace Windu?
Well, no, it didn't quite go that far. I'd say the biggest shout-out I got was from Sam Jackson at one of the Comic-Cons. The question he was asked was, well, what are your two favorite marketing things online with Snakes on a Plane? And he mentioned that. He says, well, I've got that song that dude did on my iPod, and I listen to that all the time. And at the same time, I did I do impressions as well, and I did a bunch of voices pretending to audition for the movie Snakes on a Plane. And he also said, yeah, that was also my favorite thing, that dude who does all those voices. And he really didn't know that it was the same person, but I got two shout-outs from Sam Jackson. And I don't know, that's a pretty good badge to wear for me.
That's awesome. We have Loogie Hayes, our guest here. We got about 50 minutes here with Loogie. I want to introduce you to my co-host. His name is the Modern Nightmare Matthias, and he's a rock and roller himself. What do you got, Matthias? Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to do my quick spiel, and then I'm going to pass off to you real quick. I do have to go blow my nose. So, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, NSC World Tag Team Champion, and Rudo's Promotions All-Weight Intercontinental Champion, and soon-to-be NSC World Heavyweight Champion and honorary member of the New World Order. Matthias, welcome on my part of the program, but I will pass it on to Icon for one more question while I go blow my nose, and I will come right back.
All right, that's cool. Now, when you put out the song, you obviously, did you put it out in a CD single, or did you put it out on stream? Well, I don't know if streaming was available yet.
Back then, no. I also accompanied it with a music video, and I did all the very low-end special effects at the time. I dressed up like Bono, and I put a bunch of cartoon snakes in it, and there was a whole thing. And back then with YouTube, it was the very early days of YouTube, you would kind of make it on the front page of YouTube, and then suddenly your email is just smashed with people, and you're just trying to keep up with it all. But it was quite an interesting experience. And I just want to say that the gentleman who's going to blow his nose, I caught the reference because my name is Loogie. I see what you guys are doing here, and I'm not offended.
Well, he does have a little bit of a cold. You know, he's a wrestler, and some of the arenas that he wrestles in, I mean, they keep it below zero, pun intended. But anyway, he is back, and I know one thing that he also wanted to talk to you about was what it's like also not only being a singer but a martial artist, in the fact that if you get heckled in the crowd, you can pretty much go and take care of that.
Well, yeah, as Icon was mentioning at the beginning of the show, not only are you a singer, but you've also got martial arts skills behind you. So one is, what is your rank? What is your level? What color belts do you have, and, like, what kind of martial arts are you familiar with?
Well, the short story, I'll pull the Bruce Lee card, and of course, you generally start with a foundation, and then you just realize, okay, I'm a human being. What's going to work best in self-defense? And you just open up to exploration of all kinds of martial arts. If I had to write the book, the beginning was Wushu, which is the very fancy classical kung fu. But from then, I just, you know, the martial arts has just come such a long way, and there's just so much to explore in that. But if I'm being totally honest with myself, and that happens every now and then, I keep up the martial arts because I'm also an actor, and I, you know, if there's ever that dynamic role of the supervillain European guy. And I'm an older guy, so I would love to be able, at the end of the movie, do the fight scene. So I would hate to be, yeah, he was the menacing guy throughout the movie, but then they got a stunt double. My dream is to be able to actually pull off that fight scene with, I don't know, Scott Adkins or something.
Okay. And then as an artist and as a musician and stuff like that, I know how difficult it can be, you know, to come up with a song and produce things and stuff like that. Now, I actually got put in a music video for a burger brawl type of situation where the band actually made a song about the burger battle event that was going on, and then they wanted to have combat involved in it. So me and another wrestler got in a wrestling ring, and they filmed them. We put on a match. We did a match that they recorded, and then now they're mixing it in with the band and the wrestling and the burger stuff. So what is one of the – have you ever had to do a situation like that where you had to record – where you had to come up with a song for, like, a specific event, and was it kind of, like, odd, or has it been kind of, you know, kind of normal, I would say? Have you ever had any weird songs you've had to write for stuff, or has it kind of just been, you know, off-the-cuff normal?
First of all, that's amazing, and is that video online? Can I see you throwing hamburgers at somebody else to music?
Absolutely.
That
well,
like
I actually just got a hold of the promoter that ran the ring and stuff like that, and he said that it should be out soon. So if when I do get the link to the video or I do get the video, I'll make sure you get to see it.
Oh, that is amazing. I mean, you really painted the visual well because, that just sounds like a lot of fun. And for me, doing any of this stuff is at the top is because it's fun to do. As far as odd situations with songs, I can't think of anything necessarily odd, but if I could promote myself a little bit, I did recently sell a song to a feature film, and it's a comedy film that I think is slated to come out this year, and it had Jay Moore and Paul Rodriguez, Ari Spears, and I did it just out of inspiration from being on set of the movie. So they didn't know I was going to write a song or anything. They were just like, hey, if you can do some funny parts in this movie, that would be great. I did that, and then just from the experience on set and getting a general grasp of the script, I wrote a song, and they loved it, and they want to include it in the title track. So I guess that's not as unusual as it is just one of those, you know, those really memorable cosmic moments where you're in the right place at the right time. And hopefully that awesome. Film will come out. And it's a rap. It's a rap song.
Go ahead.
And I like to challenge myself, I guess, musically. And I decided to make it a rap tune. And I guess under the umbrella of humor, you can get away with pretty much anything.
Okay, cool. And then my last question before I send it back over to Icon would be, now, when it comes to making a song, producing a song, I know you got to, like, come up with the lyrics and you got to come up with the tune and the sound and all that kind of stuff. What do you find is the hardest part for you personally? Like, is it sitting down to write the lyrics, or is it trying to match the tune to the lyrics, or, like, what is one of your hardest parts when it comes to creating a song? And it may not be, like, oh, this has been hard for me for years. It's just like something that's just a little bit harder than all the other parts of the process.
Right. Because I would say as far as inspiration for songs, that can come from anywhere. Sometimes you just hear something, a melody in your head, and you're like, oh, let me try and write some words to that. Sometimes you just hear in your mind a sentence, or you're just playing with somebody and you're just improvising and you casually say something and you're like, oh, my gosh, that could really make a song, and you build on that. But as far as the most difficult thing, a lot of times I'll hear songs way bigger in my head than I can produce or convey them through instruments. Like the first thing I'll do is try and pick up an acoustic guitar and just get the basic feel and chords down, but I always find myself very limited to what I'm hearing in my head. I would never claim to be a guitarist. I guess I'm primarily a vocalist. But if I can get the basic feel and the chords through the guitar, I can then, once I get over that hurdle, I can then nuance it with the lyrics and melodies and harmonies and all that kind of stuff. And we only just recently actually have a full band, and it's a dream come true to hear essentially my original music played with these other folks who are really good musicians, and they're adding so much to it that, you know, I feel honored that they're even wanting to do that.
That's awesome.
We have Loogie Hayes, our guest here. We got about 5 minutes here with Loogie, so we don't miss this here, buddy. If our fans want to check out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I would say go to penguichband.com. Penguichband.com is the place to go. As an actor, I'm doing, a lot of other things. I do voice acting as well. But right now, because, you know, if there's one thing I want to leave people who are listening with, penguichband.com is the hub where they can see our demo and they can listen to some of our songs and navigate from there.
And for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, go to Ken's page, 89.1 Ken's FM, do a $10 a month donation to the Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. And I do believe you did send us a few, or you're going to send us a few?
I can. I haven't done it. It's funny. I have a weird thing about autographs. I always feel like if I'm going to give somebody an autograph, I also want to get theirs, so that we just feel like we're on equal terms, right? I feel like I want to honor. I honor the audience as much as
I
honor.
I will make that work for you. Me and Matthias, we have a little collector's card. We will autograph that and send that to us. If you can send us 5 autographs to give away for our listeners, we will send you an autograph of me and Matthias.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah, and you know, if the I don't know if you're going to do it through, like you say, a contest of giving the autographs, I would just say if those guys could also, you know, put their signature down so that they feel as much valued as they think I am. I always feel like if I'm on the red carpet and I'm signing autographs, I would insist that the fans also give me their autograph. I feel like that's a good exchange. But that's great.
Here's what we'll do that. I will send you the address where to send the autographs for our giveaways, and then you can send me the autograph where we can send the autographs to you. Now, Matthias, you have merchandise. You have wrestling pictures that you autograph. Would you be willing to donate one of those for our guest here?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I'm always willing to promote myself in any way that I possibly can, and if it goes to a loving fan, well, then, you know, I can make it work.
And I have a feeling, Loogie, that you'll be the first one that gets my autograph that doesn't use it as a dartboard after they get it.
I really appreciate it, guys.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We got about 3 minutes here left with you. So let me ask you this: what is the remaining year of 2024 look for you? How many different venues you got lined up, and when might the next opportunity for our fans to come see you live that are listening around the states? Where might they be able to catch you up with you and see you in concert on stage?
Yeah, I don't know if they know, but I'm on the West Coast primarily, and this is generally where we've been gigging. But we have a show at the Whiskey A Go Go, which is an icon spot here in LA, where all the fun bands like to play. And we have something coming up on May 20. Wait, I'm deferring to my manager. When is it? At the Whiskey? Whiskey's August.
Well, I'll tell you what, at least your manager didn't say, well, in August you're going to be in Iceland
I would welcome that, you know, and then we do the Spinal Tap tour, right? We'll be playing the senior home in New Zealand, and then we'll be coming back to play the nursery in Iowa.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you ever get close to North Dakota, our area here, you know, around the Tri-State area, let us know. We would definitely love to do a little road trip to come see you.
Oh, that would be amazing! That would be amazing. The only thing I would require in my contract is the biggest coat you can, because my understanding is North Dakota is a little chilly.
Well, I'll tell you what. See, here's the deal. like I like to tell everybody, we have four seasons here: winter, flood, road construction, and football. So if we can get you here in June, July, or August, or even September, you should be fine.
Nice. I'll take road construction for $500, Alex.
There you go. And as a matter of fact, road construction season has started. Matthias, you can attest to that.
Yeah, I sure have. I sure can contest to all that.
All right. Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you what.
I'd love to get that link, that hamburger video link. I really look forward to seeing that.
Absolutely. I'll make sure when the promoter gives it to me, I'll make sure I hand it off to you so you can get to see it.
And then maybe you can write some music for it.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Loogie, you are wonderful. You are awesome. You are the man. I do apologize that we didn't have the full 30 minutes here with you, but we did get in 26 and a half, so I think we did pretty good.
That'll leave 3.5? Is that right? That'll leave 3.5 minutes for me to geez, what can a male do in 3.5 minutes? Oh, it's PG. I could probably arrange my sock drawer.
There you go, man. Well, I'll tell you what, you are awesome, buddy, and we would definitely like to have you on again. And anytime that you have, like, a new CD or anything like that, a new song coming out that you want to promote, we want to be the show that promotes it for you. Anytime you need it, we're here for you.
That is so amazing. I'm super honored. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, you're the man, buddy, and we love you, and thank you, and keep singing, and we will be in contact. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Take care now.
All right, that was Loogie Hay, and all this time I've been calling him Luigi, so I had no idea. So I guess once again, my pronunciation was incorrect, but that's what happens. So so we've had two guests. We're waiting for our third guest, and his name is Sammy Cassell, and we're going to talk to him. I mean, he's got so many movies under his belt, Matthias, that you would not believe. We're definitely not going to be able to talk to him all about them, but he's got 44 movies out now. And he's got 9 more coming out in the next year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing that all these guests that we have you noticed, they all have a lot of stuff on their schedule in the next couple of years. I wonder if that's a coincidence.
I mean, who knows? Some things can always be coincidences.
All right. And one thing I am working on, Matthias, is, as you know, we're going to have Conrad Thompson on. We're going to have Conrad Thompson on, and that's where I'm going to issue the a little challenge to him and Eric Bischoff in a little tag team match, and it's going to be a little fun. Would you be up for that, to go after Eric Bischoff again?
Well, I don't like to be grudgy and dwell on the past a lot, but, I no longer am in cohorts with Sylvester J. Fox at the current moment, but him and I have been talking again. So who knows where that future is going to lead, but as of right now, I'm not in cahoots with him. So with Eric Bischoff, he did, I'll just say this, screwed me out of my match against Mason Mayhem back last year. And he hit my managers with the infamous golf club and tried to pull off some of his martial arts moves. And if he is, and I challenged him back when he was a guest on here, and I do believe he said he was in for it. So, I mean, if I can ever get my hands on Eric Bischoff for what he did and he costed me my match, I'm more than willing to, put my hands on an old man to get my revenge so I can get put on top where I belong. So, yeah, if that comes down to the case and they're willing to fight, well, let's do it.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing I have heard, I do listen to his and Eric's show religiously, 83 weeks on YouTube, And they are actually going to be coming, the way I understand it, they'll be coming to the cities to mark the anniversary of the premiere of Nitro.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's where we're going to see if we can't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what we can do. Let's get it done.
And I mean, traveling down the cities would not be is not too far for you or I.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a way to let people know that Conrad Thompson is not the only. I mean, I respect Conrad Thompson. He's a good friend of mine, but I want to let everybody know that he's not the only podfather around.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're just waiting for our next guest to call in, and hopefully that will be soon, and we'll just talk until he does call in. I you know, one thing that I am looking forward to, you know, with that challenge is the fact that he could bring all his guys, because, you know, I have heat with Tony Schiavone. I'd like to take out Tony Schiavone, and that's another story. But our guest is here, so we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after this, so stick with us, and we'll be right back. Do not go away.
As you know, 89.1 Kens FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor Kens FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 Kens FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, our final guest of the night, but the most brilliantly talented. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you at this time, he is Sammy Cassell.
Oh, good evening, good evening, good evening.
How are you, sir? Good to have you with us. What's going on tonight?
Actually, tonight I am sitting in a hotel room in Atlanta, Georgia. We flew in this morning for a Braves game, and then we're flying out in the morning to head to Vegas.
So what's things like in hot Atlanta?
It's hot. It was very warm today. It wasn't too bad. It was like a noon game this afternoon, and I've got a buddy of mine that we're trying to get in all 32 stadiums. So this is the fourth trip we've made, and we just kind of squeezed it in before. I'm actually headed to Vegas to bowl in Nationals this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you make your jaunt to Target Field, I want you to stay in contact with me. I'd love to come out and hang out with you when you go to the Twin Stadium.
Yeah, most definitely.
I will, and I'll even buy you a hot dog.
Oh, nice. That's my daughter had a hot dog here today, and I said we have to try one at every stadium just to see. Even though I'm not a big ballpark hot dog kind of guy, you still have to try them.
Well, yeah, I mean, not everybody wants to spend $25.
True story.
Let's see, if you let's see, what is it, a hot dog, an adult beverage, and a dessert is like $50. And that's why you want to make sure you get your tickets at a cheap rate so you can afford to eat when you're at the park. But that's another story. We have Sammy Cassell as our guest here, and we have 32 minutes here with Sammy. Here's what we're going to do here. If you want to give us a little background about yourself, and then I'll ask you a few questions, then we'll do a roundtable, and then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions, so go ahead.
Okay, I'm kind of late into the entertainment game. I actually didn't get started until I was 43. Just as a random chance, we ended up playing zombies in a local film, and that led into me actually getting a significant role in that movie, and then me and the guy who was making the movie became fast friends and did another movie together, and I worked so hard on the movies, he actually gave me part of the production company. So that's how I got into
I believe you started in 2014. You started in 2014, right?
Yes. Yeah, I guess it's been 10 years. Yeah. So I was 44. So, I, you know, I'd never really thought about acting, but my kids were grown and gone, and I was like, you know, I need something to do. So it's become a fun little pastime for me.
Now, is that is it true that on set they gave you the same nickname as Charlie Rich, the Silver Fox?
No, actually, I've been called the White Fox because my hair is so silver that it's white, and it's been like this since I was 25. So I don't know why I turned. It's actually worked out pretty well because it's that soft. My hair is still really soft. It's not that coarse gray. But it stands out everywhere. My wife calls me the walking Q-tip.
Well, I was thinking more like the Nature Boy.
Yeah, I wish I had that kind of charisma and that kind of, I don't know that I want that lifestyle, but I can style and profile with the best of them.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, we get a lot of our information here from IMDb.com. So we'll go over a few of your films that we can talk about, and then we'll talk about some of the stuff you got coming up, like you did Bobby Came Home, Wopzilla, Just My Luck, Brother's Keeper, Three Quarters, Backwoods Bubba, If Bubba Can Dance, I Can Too, Kill Giggles. Winter Blood, Sea Salt Wind, and probably one of my favorite, Uncle Otto's Truck from 2019. And according to IMDb.com, you have 9 projects upcoming. Is that true?
That sounds like a lot, but yeah, that's probably pretty close to being true. Either production side or acting for other people or. I've actually been working on a pretty big TV show the past month, several days. So, and I don't really think that's listed on IMDb. So, yeah, it's probably true. I'm pretty busy.
Well, here's what they got. They got No More Bad Times for Tori, Just My Luck Again, Guy Talk, You're It, Skate the Heck, Me, Myself, and I, probably a story about me, and Camp of the Dead, the 2020 Wreak Havoc Horror Film Fest teaser. Well, that's a commercial, but wow. You're a busy guy. You don't like to slow down, do you?
No, I do not. I figured out somewhere late in life that I have adult ADD. I never had it as a kid, but as an adult, I have to stay busy pretty much all the time.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You and I are on the same page on that. I was diagnosed with ADD when I was 6, and
oh, wow.
You know, a lot of people say that it was a deficiency, but I actually felt it was more of a I don't know, like a superpower, because I could we won't get into it, but I could always hear things that people couldn't hear, and I could visualize stuff that, you know, and I always led that to my ADD and my OCD, but that's a whole another story. But like I say, with all these projects coming up, and that's just as an acting. And according to IMDb, you got some producing stuff that you're doing too, like Blackout and Seer of Souls. Wow, I mean, I don't know how you keep it straight.
I don't know either. It's sometimes I have to actually put stuff into my calendar. Or else I'll double book myself and mess everything up. I'm not well off enough to have a personal assistant that kind of keeps all my ducks in a row. So I've actually had to start putting stuff in the calendar. And my wife has a yearly calendar, and she's like, okay, let's start at the beginning of each month and let's figure out what's going on so I know where you're at.
So it's like, Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to be filming No More Bad Times for Tori. Then Thursday and Friday, I got to hightail it over to Las Vegas so I can film You're It. And then next week I'll be in Maui doing The Freezing Heck. I can just about imagine what that must be like.
Yeah, I mean, I do mostly local stuff. Skate the Heck was I did that last month. I filmed my parts last month in Vegas, and I've worked with those guys before, so that was a fun time, you know. But that's a pretty good budget movie, so it'll be a year and a half before anybody ever sees it.
And so it's basically like, I'm guessing, and like I said, we can't say the real word, but I guess it's basically not a roller derby movie.
No, it's a skateboard movie, and it stars some pretty big names. Todd Bridges is in it.
Eric Roberts.
Yes, Eric Roberts is in it. Jenna Jameson is in it. I actually worked with Robert Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds in my, which was entertaining, and he was a great guy. You know, I'm just kind of a little bitty, not on the log when it comes to acting. So when I get to work with someone, you know, fairly well known like that, it's pretty fun.
And you also, also in that film was a friend of the show, Scott Schwartz.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yes.
I did not work with him, but I know who he is.
And everybody who doesn't know who Scott Schwartz is, of course, he was in the movie The Toy with Richard Pryor, but he's most famous for the kid that stuck his tongue to the pole in A Christmas Story.
Yep. I don't know how. I remember Sean getting him. Spencer Irvin from the Santa Claus, he plays the little nerdy elf, is also in it. So Sean Phillips, the director and writer, tends to gravitate towards people from his childhood, and that so he's trying to get all these guys and girls in these movies.
Yeah, I just got to know, what was it like hanging out with Robert Carradine?
He was fun. You know, sometimes you don't know when you work with a pretty big name, you don't know how they're going to be. Luckily, I've had a lot of good experiences, but he was great. We were standing outside in between takes, and he just started talking about Revenge of the Nerds and the kind of cut up stuff that they did while they were on set and how much fun they had, that, you know, that they ad-libbed a lot of that. He was great to work with. He was very tongue in cheek. He knew what he was making. We're not making Oscar films here, Oscar nominated films. So he was having fun with it too.
Well, you know, when I got to talk to him, I talked to him a lot about Revenge of the Nerds, but I talked to him mostly about what it was like being in the movie The Cowboys with the Duke, John Wayne.
Oh, yeah, nice. You know, that family goes way back anyway. When you get good stories out of that, out of people like that, it's even better. I got to spend some time, and it was a stunt man. I can't remember what his name is now. I just drew a blank, but he worked with Jack Palance on Shane, and he was like, you know, Palance couldn't even ride a horse. I had to teach him how to ride a horse when he got there.
we have Sammy Cassell here as our guest here. We got about 21 minutes. I'm going to introduce you to my co-host. His name is the Modern Nightmare Matthias. And his favorite movie of yours, it's not even out yet, but he thought it was about his career, called Just My Luck Again. What do you got, Matthias? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, NSC World Tag Team Champion, and Rudas Promotion Intercontinental All-Weights Champion, and soon-to-be NSC World Heavyweight Champion and honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias. Welcome on to my part of the program. And right now I'm trying to come up with a question, honestly, for you, because you and I, Con, have been kind of killing it in the interviews. So my main question to you right now would be, when people go out for interviews and stuff, they always get a varied answer for this. So I'm going to ask you, who is one of your main influences slash heroes that you would say that got you into doing all this kind of work, keeping yourself busy, keep pushing yourself, that kind of thing?
Oh, okay. So this is a pretty generic response, I guess. My mom, which is weird, because, you know, you don't think of that kind of influence, but she always encouraged me to read from an early age, and that kind of inspired my imagination. My first year in high school, I came home and there was a note laying on my bed, and it said, I know you have a reading list from school, but I have a reading list I want you to do for me this summer too. And underneath the note was Stephen King's It. And I just devoured it that summer. And from there, I started reading King stuff and comic books. I'm a big Thor fan. So she always encouraged the reading side of my thought processes, which led into filmmaking and the ability to make films I do comedy and that kind of stuff. It gets your imagination going.
Okay. And now I know with filmmaking, because I was inspiring myself to be one back when I was younger. Every time I'd go out to recess whenever I was in school, I was always picking up my phone and I was recording something, or I was doing a weird skit or a funny moment thing with my friends, and I still have those videos to this day, and it's kind of fun to just kind of go back and look at what you've done throughout the years and that kind of thing, watching the silly stuff that you did and how you edited things and what you intended to do through this, even though you were young and you just really didn't have a motivation. You were just like, I'm going to do this and that because I can. What do you see as one of your hardest moments, like, or one of the hardest parts of the procedure for you filmmaking-wise, whether it be, like, setting up the shots or like, setting up the storyboard or, you know, getting the actors or portraying the scenes or anything like that? What would be the hardest part for you? And it isn't even like, oh, I can't do this without help. Like, it's such a struggle. It's just like, what do you find is one of the harder parts for you when it comes to the whole filmmaking process?
So my production partner, Dan Sellers, and I are, we kind of work concurrent together. I have no ability to write. I don't normally direct, but I'm actually working on my first film that I'm directing. So he writes and directs, I produce and act. And it took him a long time to convince me that I was a producer, because I thought those were the guys that just put money up. But I'm the guy that's connected. I'm the guy who knows the guy who can get you whatever you need. So when I did Kill Giggles, for example, I play a character named Do-Si-Do, who is a rodeo clown. And I am being stalked by a serial killer. And he catches me at the rodeo, and not to spoil anything, because I don't know, unfortunately, we'll ever get to see the movie, but I am drawn and quartered. So they were going to do this practically. Jason calls me a week before we're getting ready to do the scene that they've worked on for over a year, and he says, we've lost our horses. And I went, what do you mean? He says, the guy who we were going to get our horses from can't do it. So I was like, oh, okay, give me a day. I called him back the next day, and I said, I got two horses. Not four, but I got two. And he went, okay. She calls me 3 days before we're going to shoot and say, we broke the gooseneck on the trailer. We can't get the horses there. I called Jason. I was like, we may have to postpone this. He said, I said, but let me work on it. I might be able to get it. In 3 days, I had four horses there, so I could be buried alive for 2 hours and be drawn and quartered. So the producing side has always come pretty easily to me just because I was connected before I ever got into film. And from my hometown of Virginia, if I say I need something, most time they pop up and somebody's got somebody that can do it. So it's sometimes you have to pull rabbits out of your hat and not be a magician to get a film made. I hope that answers your question.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, you mentioned that you're working on directing your first film. Now, I know our fans knew this was coming, so I'll just kind of pull it out right now. One thing about being a director, you're always going to be looking for actors and actresses and extras and whatnot. You know, I would love to come work for you. The only request is that you give me a place to sleep on set. You throw me a couple hot dogs, and I'll go get your bags. I'll go get your cappuccino. I'll do all that stuff. You don't have to pay me until the movie makes $1 million.
Oh, okay. Actually, the movie I'm directing, I can't use you on because it's a documentary. But we are in pre-production on our next two short films. So I will throw your name into the hat and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I mean, the Castell and the Icon hanging out on set, I think that would just be awesome.
It would be awesome. I mean, we could probably spend the entire day talking wrestling. So.
Well, yeah, definitely. Speaking of wrestling. I remember when I was our producer kind of mentioned this that you would ask him about if you had to brush up on Monday Night Raw. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan. It was in Greensboro tonight, and I am just north of Greensboro. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but I almost go to all the local shows. Whether it's Ring of Honor or WWE or AEW. I'm fortunate enough to be friends with Charles Robinson, not to name drop at all.
Little Nate.
Yep. Chuck normally hooks me up with a ticket or so. But again, I was out of town tonight, so I couldn't participate. Charles is a great guy. You want to talk about a fun guy to hang out with, and nice. He carries 8x10s around with him, and anybody that approaches him, he'll pull out an 8x10 and sign it for him. At no money, no questions asked, nothing.
Sammy Cassell is our guest here. We got about 13 minutes here with you. I want to give you a quick little Charles Robinson story.
Okay.
Monday Nitro was here. And I was sitting ringside, and he was a referee, and I said, "Hey, Little Nate, come over here." And then he came over and gave me a big high five, and he said, "Hey, if you're around after the show, in the back of the building there," and then he gave me an autographed picture, which I thought was really cool. And then several years later, the WWE was here in Fargo, and he was the official here. And I called out again. I said, Little Nate. He said, how do you remember that? And then I said, "Hey, it's me, the Icon." He's like, "Hey, man, how are you?" And then I got another picture. I got an updated picture. He is such a great guy. You know, I've been trying to get him on the show for years, but unfortunately, he's under contract with that organization up north, and they kind of frown on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We've had discussions about him doing a couple of local conventions, but they tighten those strings on them guys so much. He's very leery of doing anything outside of the E, and he can ask, and they may or may not approve it, but most time he doesn't even ask, just not to cause any issues.
I'll tell you one thing about there's a couple things you have in common.
You and I are both on this great show together, and you and I probably have Charles Robinson's phone number.
Yep.
There you go.
I actually talked to him today.
Well, I'll tell you what, the next time you talk to him, tell him his buddy the Icon from Fargo says hello. I mean, I have several pictures of him and I hugging at ringside. He's just an awesome, awesome guy.
He's a regular guy, too. Yep. We met on the horror convention circuit. I would always North Carolina has quite a few horror conventions, and you would always know he was there because as soon as he came in, everybody would start wooing all over the place. So, you know, I'd seen him a couple of times and just kind of said, hey. And then one year at Mad Monster Party, it just seemed like we were in the same booth all the time together. And I had a Mylar for a Nightmare on Elm Street pinball rolled up in my backpack, and I was getting everybody, Robert Englund was there, and I was getting everybody from Nightmare to sign it so I could put it back in the pinball. And he asked me about it, and he's like, well, I own an Evel Knievel pinball. Well, that guy was talking about collecting, and he's a pretty big horror collector and poster collector. And next thing you know, we were fast friends, and I invited him up to my house to pick up some poster frames that I had, and I'm now friends with him and his girlfriend Jennifer, and he's just a super great guy. A salt of the earth, as the old timers would say.
Yeah, he doesn't have that stuck up attitude like someone like a honky tonk man who won't be on the show because he won't do Mama Basement Radio.
Jeez.
As he told me, you know.
Oh, honky! I don't think I've met him. I've met quite a few of the guys through my 40, 50 years of wrestling fandom. And WrestleCade is a big convention we have in Winston every year. So I know Tracy and some of the guys around that. So I get in early and can kind of hobnob a little bit. So don't know that I've ever met Honky Tonk, but there are some bad apples in wrestling.
So, you know, you were talking about WrestleCade, so you probably know Conrad Thompson.
I don't know Conrad. We've had some private Twitter DM discussions because I'm also a belt collector, and not on his level by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, well, he's obsessed.
Yes. And not on the like, I can't afford any of the screen use stuff or anything like that. Mine is mainly high end replica kind of things. But he and I had a conversation about a month ago or so when it came out that some of his collection was going to put up for sale because he had moved. And so I DM'd him and I was like, look, I'd be interested in seeing some of the stuff you have, whether it's belts or anything else. And we talked a little bit about a replica belt that I have that I'm pretty proud of and, had a short little conversation. So I haven't met him in person. But yeah, we've had some conversations.
Sammy Cassell's our guest here. We've got about 7 minutes left here. So we can do this here. For those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that. Do a $10 a month donation to the Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. Now, Sammy, I do believe you are sending us some autographs, or you sent us some. I cannot remember.
I have already sent some.
That's right. Okay. I'll tell you what, not that anybody cares, but someone about 5 months ago took out our mailbox at my new home, and unfortunately, I'm only home when the post office is open on Saturdays, so I get my mail once a month, so that's why I'm kind of trying to keep track of what's going on. And real quick here, if our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I have a Facebook, Instagram, and a Twitter. They're all at Sammy Cassell, S-A-M-M-I-E-D-A-S-S-E-L-L. I also have a Facebook page called Sammy the Comic Book Man. I have a program where I go out and visit elementary schools and senior centers, anywhere that wants to talk about comic books, and I do a presentation encouraging people to read, specifically comic books, but just read anything. And then our production company page is wreakhavocproductions.com.
And since he's a wrestling fan, that's SAMMIECASSELL, Sammy Cassell. Now,
I have never thought about that. I had never thought about that.
Real quick here, you mentioned that you're a belt collector. Matthias, you're a belt collector. You've won a few in your time.
Well, yes, as I stated every time throughout my entire intro, I am currently a three-belt holder champion. I am the APW World Heavyweight Champion. I will be the NSC World Heavyweight Champion come June 21st. I am also the NSC World Tag Team Champion, and I am the Rudos Promotions All-Weight Intercontinental Champion. So, yes, in regards to title belts, I do collect them from promotions, and I hold them until I find it pleasant to hand them over to the company. I do not lose them. Nobody takes them from me. I will gladly hand them to promoter and walk away whenever I see fit. And now I've got more titles than I'm aiming to collect here in the good Midwest promotions, and then I'm hoping to get down to places like California, Florida, Tennessee. I got booking set up there, so hopefully everything goes well there. But other than that, yeah, I mean, you guys collect title belts to put in cases on your wall that are from the WWE and stuff, where I'm collecting title belts in the middle of that ring, and I'm holding my top-notch as champion, as I always do.
And, you know, Sam, the cool thing about the Nightmare Matthias is when he has to carry his belt, he can't even get through a metal detector at the airport.
Well, he needs to come down here to the home of independent wrestling. I mean, the Carolinas have a long history of great indie wrestling, and it's hard and heavy around here now still to this day. So all he's got to do is come on down south, and I'm sure somebody will be more than glad to take one of those titles off of him.
Well, there you go. I think it sounds like a challenge to me.
Well, you know, as I always say, I mean, people want to challenge me, but they don't want to put in the work. So if somebody wants to reach out to a promoter and say, hey, Matthias, we're willing to pay you what you're worth to come on down to the Carolinas and put your nose in a state with a bunch of slack jaw half. Well, I'm trying to think of how I would say it, because, like, we like to say slack jaw from places we don't like, but I'll say people that don't understand North Dakota. So if the promoter wants to invite me down to the Carolinas to wrestle in front of the inferior subhumans compared to me, I will do it. I'm not saying you are inferior. I'm saying the fans are, because here's the thing. When I come out to that ring, I'm North Dakota's number one heel for a reason. But the only reason I am is because of the fans. You see, I go out there and I just perform my craft and I win. But when people boo me and say I'm a terrible person and I'm a cheater, so that makes me the way that I am. So if the fans keep their mouths shut, they stand up and they clap for me, well, then maybe things would be different. So if somebody wants to challenge me for my belt and they want to pay me the money I deserve, shoot me a message. Get me somewhere and let's go. I will defend my title anywhere and everywhere. I am a fighting champion. I got three to win, and I got more on my plate. So let's make it happen.
That would definitely be awesome.
I will definitely put the word out. I have some buddies who would be more than glad to reach out.
Let's do this.
Well, there you go, Matthias. I got you another booking. We got about 2 minutes here left with Sammy, and then we're gonna play that song I promised of the new hit song from Randy Travis. They brought him his voice back through AI. Of course, he had a stroke 4 or 5 years ago, left him unable to communicate, and he can still sing a little bit. But they were able to give him his voice back through AI, so we're going to play that here in a little bit. But I'll tell you what, Sammy, I'll tell you what, I definitely do, and I'm serious, I will, I'll come work for free on any project that you have coming up, you know, and then when it's a big success, we'll get you down here. You can do a premiere at the Fargo Theater, and we'll make $1 million out of the thing.
I'm always game.
All right. Tell you what, you're awesome, Sammy. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I'll stay in contact with you. We love you and everything you do. Thanks, bud.
Oh, thank you all very much for having me.
All right. Sammy Castle, ladies and gentlemen, and we got about a minute here before I got to play the song. Matthias will be back with us next week as long as everything goes right.
That should be the case.
All right. And I will be here as well. We got a big show next week as well. If you want to check out who's going to be on the show next week, you'll have to check out our Facebook page. The information drops on Wednesday or Thursday. And until then, remember next week, or until next week, remember it's not goodbye, it's just good night. Be safe, love each other, care for each other. Join us here every Monday night on 89.1 Ken's FM, right here, live from Fargo, North Dakota. Until we meet next week, we will see you all and enjoy the new hit song by Randy Travis, Where That Came From.
You think you know me.